I solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such, without fear, favor, or affection of or towards any person. So help me God.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who for almost 100 years have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
Albert E., number 4558, ex-corporal, Royal Northwest Mounted Police. I'm to tell a story of a police case that happened in 1908.
It was the story of the Phantom of the Prairies.
Well, the Mounted Police don't give that kind of a name to their cases, ma'am. That's newspaper headline stuff. To us, and especially to Corporal Gray, it was exasperating, but it was a plain, everyday police case.
I still say he was the Phantom of the Prairies. With only 4 hours of darkness at that time of year, and wide open prairie everywhere, driving a horse and wagon, he stole from our barns, our yards, from under our very windows. And no one ever saw him, ever heard him. Just the tracks of the horses and wagon. And those always ended at the old bone trail. I say he was the Phantom of the Prairies.
And that's the trouble with police cases. Everyone gets into the act. Everyone has a theory. Everyone has to put glamour or mystery into what's a case of plain, hard police work. I didn't happen to work on the case itself, but I knew all about it, and I had quite a hand in the aftermath. Well, as I was saying, it all happened in 1908, out of the prairies of Saskatchewan. Corporal Gray was stationed at one of the most quiet and uninteresting posts we had. It was at Zealandia, a bit of a town about 70 miles west of Saskatoon. He sometimes wondered if he'd ever have a chance to do any real police work, when late one afternoon, the door of his office burst open.
By God, Corporal, I'm mad. Mad clean through. Some low-down, good-for-nothing so-and-so stole my new set of brass-bound harness. Went right through my stable.
Easy,
and
Mr. McLeod.
Easy, is it? Well, no, be easy on that scoundrel when I get my hands on him.
We'll have to find him first, don't we?
That's your job, Corporal. And you better get to it right now. That's what we've got the Mounted Police for.
Give me an exact description of that harness, and I'll notify the detachments to the east and west. I'll be out at your homestead as soon as it's daylight tomorrow to have a look around.
Well, as I said, this new harness is brass bone, and I got it at Alec. Well, Corporal, what do you make of it?
One man did it, with horses and wagon. The tracks are plain.
Plain enough, until they get here to the old bone trail. And then they vanish.
Corporal Gray spent 2 days scouring the countryside, asking questions, looking at possible hideaways, searching, always searching. The culprit had vanished. Vanished with the track of his wagon on the old bone trail. The only thoroughfare in the West, running for hundreds of miles from Saskatoon towards the faraway Rockies. The road everyone traveled, and where no tracks could ever hope to be identified. When Corporal Gray came back to his office in Zealandia, he was met by an irate young woman.
There you are, Corporal Gray. Where have you been?
My
husband and I were here yesterday, and you were away. I left him home today, just to make sure someone didn't steal the house while I came back to tell you about...
Has someone stolen something from you?
They certainly did, in the dark of the night, and without a sound. They stole my... Well...
Yes, Mrs. Hamlin. What was it they stole?
Well, they stole the baby carriage from by the back steps. And they took everything off my clothesline where I left them out for the night. The sheets, the serviettes, and all my... Well, does it matter what all they took? I tell you, they took everything I had on the clothesline.
I'll need an exact description, Mrs. Hamilton, for identification purposes when we apprehend the thief.
Well, all right, if you must know, and if it'll help catch the thief. The rest of it was my lingerie. The last of my wedding lingerie, and it... Well, you don't have to have an exact description.
Very well, Mrs. Hamilton, that will do. I'll list it as... Well, with the rest. Alex McLeod lost a set of harness.
When?
3 nights ago.
Any trace of the thief?
That's why I wasn't here yesterday. No, not a trace. Horses and a wagon, obviously a man working alone. And the track was lost at the old bone trail.
Why, it's the same. The same thief. There were wagon tracks in our yard. 2 horses, the footprints of 1 man, and my husband followed the track to the old bone trail, and there it vanished.
Corporal Gray?
Yes, sir?
My name's Holdsworth. I live 6 miles northeast of here, and
Could you wait a minute or two until I put my horse up, Mr. Holdsworth? I've been out 2 days investigating some robbery.
Then you better climb right back on again and come to my place. I was robbed last night.
You too? What did you take at your place?
My plowshares and the canvas for my binder. When I went out to plow this morning, I found someone had taken the shares from my gang plow. And when I looked around, I found the canvas covers gone from the binder.
Any trace? Any sign?
Yes, a man's footprints. Marks of a wagon drawn by 2 horses. I followed the track, and it disappeared at the old bone trail.
I was stationed in Saskatoon. We had those early reports from Corporal Gray at Zealandia, and every 2 days another one came in from him.
Listen to this, Corporal Mosses. I regret to report the 14th robbery in this area.
Mm.
During the night, someone took a small quantity of grain, several pieces of harness, an ox goad, and a ladder from the barn of J. Madison, 6½ miles south of this town. The people of the area are in what I would consider a dangerous mood. The women are afraid. Some are even talking of coming in from the homesteads to town. Many of the men are sitting up all night, ready with their firearms.
Just a minute. Come in.
Morning, Corporal Losses.
Clem! Clem Hogg!
Welcome to Saskatoon.
How are you, Bray?
Fine. Oh, but worry. Oh, Clem, Corporal Hogg, this is Constable Mitford, clerk of the Saskatoon Detachment.
Glad to meet you.
Corporal Hogg is a specialist. He's a detective.
I've heard a great deal about you, Corporal.
Well, what brings you from Regina, Clem?
Robberies at Zealandia.
Good. They're driving poor Gray crazy out there. Every second night, another robbery, and never a man or woman has seen anything of the thief but the marks of his wagon wheels, his horses, and that one set of boot prints.
Mm.
And always the traces lost to the old bone trail.
Any trace of any of the stolen articles?
We've covered every place we could think of. Stores, livery stables, such dives as there be here. Even taken some long looks around the outlying country where there might be a hidden cache. The other detachments have done the same. Not a trace.
Mm. The sooner I get out there, the better. You ought to supply me with a rig and horses.
Constable, attend to that, eh?
By the way.
There you are, Corporal Hogg. That's the story of each of the robberies. Always the same.
That's incredible, Gray. How on earth any thief could get away with all that loot and not be seen sometime or another, or have some of the stolen articles show up somewhere? Must be a pretty bold and clever man.
Well, I know every man in my territory. I know none as bold and clever would do such a thing.
And you think he comes in from somewhere else each time?
No, there's not time enough for that. Only 4 hours of darkness each night here in the springtime. He has to be located somewhere right in my district.
You're satisfied it is only one man?
Couldn't be else. If you'll take careful note of the things that have been stolen, you'll see that any of them could be handled easily by one man alone. Now then, as I've investigated each of the robberies, I've noticed almost every place that there were equally valuable or useful articles untouched. But these were things that one man would have found difficult to load into a wagon alone. At Holdsworth, for instance, had it been more than one man, they could have attempted to make off the entire gang plow, not just the shares. At McLeod's, they'd have taken any one of half a dozen valuable items from the barn. But only the harness could have been made off with by one man.
Right, George, I believe you're right. That's darn good deduction, Corporal Gray.
Well, whoever he is, I believe him to be a maniac.
A maniac? But there hasn't been any violence, has there?
I don't mean a maniac that way. I mean a man that's touched in the head. One of those that seems to be a perfectly normal person when you see him. But when he's alone, well, he's clever. Clever as hell. A schemer. A criminal. One of those persons like you read about in that story. What do they call it? Dr. somebody or other?
Dr. Jekyll.
And Mr. Hyde. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Any suspicions as to who it might be?
That's why I think it must be one of these Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde persons. I know every man in my territory, as I told you, and there's not one I'd be suspicious of.
Doesn't leave us much to work on, does it?
It leaves us to finish off what I've started. And somewhere along the way, we'll find the thief.
You mean you've been working on some plan?
Yeah. There's but one thing to do, and that was to cover every house, barn, homestead, thicket, and possible hiding place in my territory. I have the first half of it done, and not a trace. Now, with your help, we'll finish it off and find him.
Corporal Gray. Corporal Gray, he's struck again.
Easy,
the phantom thief, he's struck again. Well, I can't stay. I've got to get back to the homestead.
He was at your place again?
No, he was at the neighbor's, the Rennies. You know that brand new buggy he bought last year?
I recall it. The one with bright red wheels?
Well, the thief, the phantom, he stole those wheels last night. He left the buggy sitting there on its box. He took the wheels and disappeared.
Well, that just about takes the prize of the lot. Set of wheels off a buggy.
Well, I've got to get back. I took the baby over to the Rennies while my husband was helping him to follow the trail and so that I could come in and tell you. And Corporal Gray, this is the last straw. You find that phantom thief. For the people of this territory will do something desperate.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
This is Marcus again. Ex-Corporal Albert E. Mosses of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police. I was telling you the story of a routine police case that I remember from way back in 1908. The place? Zealandia, about 70 miles west of Saskatoon. The people? Well, it was Corporal Bill Gray, who was stationed at Zealandia, and Corporal Hogg, a detective from Regina, and a lot of irate farmers and settlers from roundabout who've been having all kinds of things stolen from them without a clue as to who the thief might be. Corporal Gray had set out to search every farm, homestead, and hiding place in his territory, and Corporal Hogg was to help him. They'd mapped out the area, divided it between them, and started out on the tedious, back-breaking task that you find more often in police work than any of these spectacular things stories are made of. Mile after mile, homestead after homestead.
How do you do?
I'm Corporal Hogg, giving Corporal Gray a hand on this robbery business.
Good. Time he had some help. Time you caught that thief. My name's McLeod, Alec McLeod.
Good to meet you, Mr. McLeod. About a mile south of here, I passed a homestead with a sod barn and a sod house. Who lives there?
Well, a foreigner of some kind named Urbaniuk. But he's no your man. Why, Corporal, that poor little scared fellow wouldn't say boo to a gopher.
Well, anyway, I'll have to search his place. Just as Corporal Gray and I are searching every place in this territory, I hope you won't mind when it comes. comes your turn.
Oh, of course not, but you're wasting your time on that Urbaniak fella. He'd be scared to death of taking a wheat stock that you would have picnicked.
No one was at home when I came by. He live alone?
Yeah, bachelor.
Pretty good-sized sod house. Must be planning on a family.
Got a sneaking notion he has someone over in Europe he's figuring on bringing out someday.
Oh. You been over there lately?
Not for months.
Why? I'd like you to go over there with me.
Sure, we got to.
I don't like to search a place without the man being there unless I have a witness.
I'll catch up a horse and be right with you. Well, that's the mansion of Mr. Urbaniak. See anything suspicious about it?
That padlock on the door. It's a big one, isn't it?
Most people don't lock their places at all in this country. I guess he's such a scared little rat.
Funny thing, when I tried that padlock and latch, the whole thing pulled out of the sod wall.
What on earth would he have it for, then?
Most people wouldn't even touch it, just take it for granted it held fast. Here, get out and come over. I want you to look inside this house.
You don't mean to tell
just
me...
Just come over and have a look. Amazing, isn't it?
Judas Priest, look. There's my brass-bound set of harness.
There are Mr. Rennie's buggy wheels.
And John Lalonde's barbed wire and Holdsworth's plowshares and binder cutters.
And everything else that has been stolen hereabouts in the last few weeks. Looks like Corporal Gray was right.
You mean he suspicioned Urbaniak all along?
No, he just figured it had to be someone no one else would suspicion. Person with a queer mental quirk who never showed it to other people.
I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. Why, that Urbaniak fella is the shyest, most timid little fella I ever saw. Hey, look, over here in the corner, Corporal.
I take it this is Mrs. Hamilton's baby carriage.
Look, all stuffed into her carriage. The table in her and her...
Quiet. Listen.
Let me out here. I'll break every bone in the rat's body.
Now, you'll kindly stay where you are. This is a police matter. Mr. Urbaniak?
Yeah?
This where you live? This your sod house?
Yeah?
I'm Corporal Hogg of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police. I must warn you that anything you say may be used against you. Understand?
Yeah?
Step inside, please, Mr. Urbaniak.
Why?
Step inside.
Yeah.
So there you are, you dirty thief. I've a mind to...
You'll be of a mind to keep quiet, please, Mr. McLeod. Now then, Mr. Urbaniak, where did you get all these things you have here in your house?
I take.
This is Corporal Mosses again. Picking up the story of the little thief who some call the Phantom of the Prairies. If there was ever a person who failed to fit that description, it was Urbaniak. Truly, he was a meek and mild little man, as far from the picture of a bold and cunning thief as I'd ever seen. After a simple confession of, I take, Corporal Hogg arranged with Alex McLeod to go into Zealandia and notify Corporal Gray that the search was over. Meantime, Corporal Hogg started for Saskatoon with his prisoner. It was a 65-mile journey, so they stopped for the night at Old Man Shell's. Most people did in those days.
Well, Urbaniak, there's Shell's place ahead. Stop there for the night. Tomorrow we'll drive on into Saskatoon, get you tried, and this case over with.
Yeah.
I haven't handcuffed you so far. Looks to me as though I'd have to fasten you up some way tonight. I'm tired and want my sleep.
Yeah.
You certainly aren't the most talkative person I ever traveled with.
No.
That's a change, anyhow. Whoop, whoop. Well, here we are. Get down. Come on, Urbaniak. In here. Sit down while I arrange for our beds and buy a plug of tobacco. I'll have my eye on you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Come on, Urbaniak. Back to the carriage.
Bed? No bed?
No, it's not that. When I went to pay for my tobacco, I found my wallet gone. Must have lost it back there where we watered the horses. Come on, we're going. Wait a minute. I wonder. Urbaniak, stand up.
Why?
I'm going to search you. Keep your arms up. What's this?
My wallet.
Why, you little...
I take...
I'll never dare tell this one to the boys. Why on earth would you pick my pocket and take my wallet when you must know that you'll be searched when you get to Saskatoon?
I take.
I'll say you take. I'm going to take you into Saskatoon before you take my uniform.
This is ex-Corporal Mosses speaking again. It wasn't until many years later that we knew more about such people, until we knew the meaning of such strange words as kleptomania and schizophrenic. Back there in the Canadian West at the turn of the century, we had no psychologists to help us with our work with criminals. Justices of the peace, Turner and Jackson, had a great deal of the milk of human kindness, and they tried to help. When the charges were read out to him, and he was asked,
guilty or not guilty?
I take.
By that, I presume you mean you are guilty?
Yeah.
And so the strange little man from the sod hut on the prairies was sentenced to 3 months in the Prince Albert jail. Sometime later, I was at the railroad station with my eyes open for a wanted man who was reported headed for Saskatoon. A train came in, and who should I see getting off but Urbaniak? I did a quick calculation, figured with time out for good behavior, this could be a legitimate arrival from Prince Albert, not a jailbreak. And anyhow, who would dream of that timid little soul ever again committing a crime? And before I could reach Urbaniak and speak to him, he'd slipped into the crowd and disappeared. 2 hours later, I was sitting in the barracks all alone when the phone... Police barracks, Corporal Moss is speaking.
Bert, this is Sheriff Calder speaking.
Oh, yes, Sheriff. What can I do for you?
You know my new beaver coat.
Of course. Everyone in town knows it, Sheriff.
Well, that's just the point. With everyone in town knowing my beaver coat, what crack-brained, pin-headed idiot of a thief would deliberately steal it?
Sheriff, I've got an idea.
Now, what is it? Tell me.
Well, I can't tell you till I check on it. Where will you be for the next couple of hours?
Right here at home, sitting next to the telephone waiting to hear from you.
Well, if my hunch is right, I'll call you by midnight.
I'll be everlastingly grateful, Corporal.
See you later, Sheriff. Goodbye. My hunch had been based on that brief glimpse of Urbaniak at the railroad station. And so I saddled my horse and headed out the old bone trail where it swings toward the distant town of Zealandia. It's a beautiful frosty night with a full moon. Great night to be alive and on the trail. Not far beyond Doc Sparrow's house, where the trail branched off to the west, I saw a dim little figure trudging along the road. I spurred toward it. Hey, that you, Urbaniak?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Go home.
What'd you do with the sheriff's beautiful new beaver coat?
Me no take.
You sure you didn't drop it in the bushes when you heard me coming?
Me no take.
Now, you better turn around and come back to Saskatoon with me.
No.
Now, you walk straight in front of my horse where I can keep an eye on you.
No.
I felt Urbaniak had given himself away when I asked him where the coat was. He didn't ask me what I meant. That, me no take, didn't sound right. As we passed Doc Sparrow's house, I saw Urbaniak turn his head toward some woeful of scrub, about the only patch for miles. My hunch was still prodding me. Urbaniak!
Yeah?
Come here.
What is?
What's that down in the willow scrub there on the ground?
Don't know.
Well, whether you know or not, and whatever it is, go get it. No, it's the sheriff's beaver coat. Now, I wonder how on earth it could have gotten here from the hotel.
Me take.
Step inside, Sheriff.
Glory be. My coat, you found it.
Well, there's the story that some people call the Phantom of the Prairies. We called it just another case for policemen. Little Urbaniak went back to Prince Albert Jail for another term, and somehow, all of us, Corporal Gray, Hogg, myself, the justices of the peace, we all knew that it would keep him out of mischief only for the time he was there. That once he was out again, he wouldn't be able to resist stealing anything that caught his fancy. Knowledge of the human mind has come a long way since that day in 1908. Science found ways and means of helping people like little Urbaniak and his I take. But police work, with all the new science of detection, has changed little. Most cases then and now are broken by persistent, patient, hard work. This is Lorne Greene, and I've had the pleasure of playing the role of Corporal Mosses on this program. The story was dramatized from a letter written to this program by ex-Corporal Mosses, who lives in retirement today in Vancouver. We express our gratitude for his authentic contribution to the Queen's Men. Authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.